This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold. It's great to be with you. How are you doing today? I'm doing great. And I hope that you are enjoying our latest 570-degree day. Lordy, it's hot out there. I sound like Saturday, don't I? Anyway, I got a new garbage disposal. I'm sure all of you want to hear that. And we had our garbage disposal go down. It broke the other night. I think the thing was 20 years old, so it was pretty well made. But it was time, and it went out. We got another one, and yours truly installed it. Did an adequate job on it. And if you've ever looked at a garbage disposal, there are two different parts to it, right? There's the thing underneath the sink, you know, the machine itself. And then there's the, I don't know what you call it, the flange or the sink collar, the thing that goes, you know, the thing that goes in the top of the sink, the silver ring, right? And it goes down through the sinkhole and then up under the bottom, and it's got these tabs that the disposal itself attaches to. And since I was replacing an older disposal, I did not need to replace that sink flange, that ring that goes through the sink. It's fine. It was fine. It was in good condition. Looks good. The new one will attach to it. It's kind of like a universal attachment. It's made by InSinkErator. And it's this big metal ring thing that I did not need to replace. Why would I do it? To do it, you have to unscrew this thing. You have to take the thing apart. You have to put what's called plumber's putty. You have to. I'm sure all the plumbers are listening, and you got to put this plumber's putty, and all the plumbers are listening saying, why didn't you call me? But I like to try to attempt these kind of things, and so you if you don't have to replace that ring, then you don't want to do it anyway. So what it means is that the ring that came with the flange thing, ring thing that came with the new disposal, I didn't need. And there were a few other things I didn't need as well. Like it had two different kinds of tailpipes that lead from the disposal to the dishwasher and a bunch of other parts. But the big thing was this big metal ring. Now, to make this big metal ring, we have to assume it's made out of steel, that there was iron ore that was mined somewhere, maybe Australia or maybe here in Minnesota in the United States. There was mining that was done. It had to be iron ore extracted, turned into iron, then the steel conversion had to be smelted into steel. You know, this whole industrial process, then it had to be formed into this iron ring, and specifically this shape. Shipped, packaged, everything. And I was left at the end of this installation with this iron, this steel ring, stainless steel, presumably. It's stainless. Must be stainless because, you know, it would rust otherwise. So I've got this big stainless steel ring, and I'm thinking, I have no use for this. I didn't install it. The old one works fine. What am I going to do? Well, we know what most people in the United States of America do. They toss it in the trash. Right? They take this big steel ring part and they throw it away. Good riddance, it's gone. Well, you know me. I picked up the phone and called the InSinkErator people. And I called them. And they were very confused at what I said next. They were very confused. They're customer service people. They were very baffled. I said, I have an extra flange ring thing. I'm sure it happens to you all the time that people buy a new garbage disposal and they install it and they don't need the ring flange, sink flange, because they just use the old one. And I'm sure you get this call all the time. I'd like to send you back the sink flange to InSinkErator. I don't want to waste it. I want to send it back to you. And I'm sure that you have a department at your company set up to receive parts, accessories, inbound that you can then reslot into your production process and inventory, which will prevent you from having to procure more of them, which will then save us from having to mine so much iron out of Australia or Minnesota or wherever. And will prevent us having to expend energy to shape and mold this thing in an iron, in a steel smelting plant and then a stamping operation. Right? I'm sure that you are just ready to tell me you're ready to receive this extra part that I've got. And the woman said, well, no, maybe you can just keep it. I said, well, no, I have no use for this. No use. What am I going to do? I'm going to, hang it around my rearview mirror for an ornament? I mean, there's no use for this for me. I said, maybe you have some sort of local affiliate where I can return this part to you and do my part with the part. No, I'm sorry, sir. We have nothing like that. And it got me thinking. as the leaders of this country and the rest of the world struggle, you know, we continue to get this news of economic slowdowns, even though, as I've pointed out, the United States of America is going to produce $14 trillion worth of goods and services, you know, but the GDP growth is not fast enough for them. It got me thinking that if they really wanted to do some good in the economy, if the president really wanted to do some good, this president, the past one, the future one, they would quit declaring war on terrorism or war on communism. They would declare war on waste. War on waste. If Barack Obama really wants to get this economy humming, he would stand up tomorrow and say, we have waste all over our economy. We got waste everywhere. Right? You know, and you know, when presidents make these speeches, they always name somebody. Right? They start naming Bob Smith from North Carolina, blah, 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 blah. You know, I got this letter from Sally Jones, and, you know, he'd say, Leo Gold sent me this email saying that he got this incinerator sink flange, big hunk of metal. Big honking hunk of metal. I mean, this thing's substantial, well-made piece of metal, and he was told by the incinerator company to just throw it in the trash. In the trash! Even though he called incinerator and said he wants to return it to them. Now, you may think the discussion I'm starting off today's show with is just out of left field. This is nuts. What does this have to do with anything? I told my dad about it. I said, Dad, they just told me to throw it out. You know, and he kind of took their side. It's like, they don't want that. They don't want that back. I said, exactly, Dad. They don't want that back. The thing's pristine. It's got their name stamped on it. They could easily use it and put it into another box. It would reduce the amount that they have to order from China. Hell, I might even pick up the shipping for free. Maybe. We'll see. Depends on what they tell me at the UPS store. And they have no department at InSinkErator. And it's not just InSinkErator. You know that it's every commercial operation almost in the world that has inefficiencies, and every municipal operation in the world. And if this country and this president was serious, they would declare war on waste. And I don't just mean, you know, government waste. When they talk about waste, it's always government waste. You know, we're gonna fix the bureaucracy and the 1,500 levels that people have to go through to get something done. No, I'm talking about waste at all levels. That's economic fixing. So when I say that you're thinking, well, this is, what does this bear relevance to? This is the ultimate relevance, because an economic society is one that does not waste. A society that has its economic house in order doesn't waste. It doesn't waste useful materials. It doesn't waste useful objects. It doesn't waste useful parts. It doesn't waste useful people. It doesn't waste useful fuels. Take a look at any of our freeways in Houston on any day. People sitting there, you and me, sitting in our cars in traffic, backed up, wasting fuel, wasting time. But you don't hear any talk like that. You don't hear any focus from the Barack Obamas or the John Boehners or the Democrats or the Republicans about waste, even though it is riven through our economic system. Now you got an extra flange for the sink. Throw it away. The disposable society. Even when you call the company and say, I'd like to send this back to you, I have no use for it. I'm going to use the old one. It works fine. (713) 526-5738 is the number. 713-526-KPFT. We're talking about waste today. War on Waste. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Doyle's going to give you a traffic and weather update, and then we will be talking about how to quit wasting waste. 713-526-5738. I'm Leo Gold. This is the New Capital Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
They say miles are a bellum, 10,000 miles I'll travel. Mad mold lungles on dirty toes to save her shoes from gravel. Swell that we sing Bonnie Boys, Bonnie Bad Boys. But some boys are Bonnie for they all go there and they live in the air and they want no drinks nor money. I went down to Satan's kitchen for to break my fast one morning. And there I got those popping hot all on the spits are turning. Well, that we sing Bonnie Boys, Bonnie Mad Boys. Bedlam Boys are Bonnie for they all go bare and they live in the air and they want no drink nor money. A cigarette hot as lightning did on that journey guide me. The sun did shake and the pale moon quake wherever they did spy me. And it's well that we sing Bonnie Boys, Bonnie Mad Boys. Bedlam Boys are Bonnie for they all go bare and they live in the air and they want no drink nor money. My staff has murdered giants, and my pack a long knife carries for to slice mince pies from children's thighs from which to feed the fairies. Swell that we sing Bonnie Boys, Bonnie Mad Boys. Bedlam Boys are Bonnie for they all go there and they live in the air and they want no drink nor money. Tonight I'll go a murder round the man and the moon to a powder. His dog I'll shake and his staff I'll break and I'll howl a wee bit louder. It's well that we sing Bonnie Boys, Bonnie Mad Boys. Bedlam Boys are Bonnie for they all go there and they live.
Welcome back to the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold. We're going to hand it over to Doyle right now for a little bit of traffic and some weather too, maybe? No, we don't need weather. We know what the weather is.
Yeah, the weather is
the weather is unchangeable.
Yeah, the weather is looking like it's going to be pretty much the same for the whole week, so get ready for some sweat.
I'm ready.
All right. All right. Well, the traffic's not too bad today. There's some road debris on I-10 westbound at 610 West, but there's not really any traffic to speak of on the West Loop, which is actually quite surprising.
So not much fuel wasting today, huh?
No. And then there's also an accident on 59 southbound at West Park. Again, not much traffic to speak of. There is a little bit of traffic on 59 Southwest northbound at Elgin, and just within, you know, the downtown area as far as that's concerned. Headed north on 45 past the 610 loop, there's a stretch of the freeway that is going quite slow for no apparent reason, and that's about it. So get ready for rush hour, though, guys. If you can beat it, I suggest to beat it. Back to you.
Thanks, Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a neighborhood association meeting the other day. We're going to get to your calls in just a second. They're pretty full up, and everybody wants to talk about waste, and I understand that. But just one more anecdote. I was at a neighborhood association meeting the other night. We were electing officers for our neighborhood association, and we had a city councilwoman outgoing come to visit with us. She's actually a resident of the neighborhood. I could name names, but I like her. I think she's pretty good, and she was talking about this drainage fee that's been passed by city council. Apparently, the mayor had said it was going to be $5 per household, and it turns out it's going to be $8 per household. And city councilwoman was saying, you know, we're going to hold the mayor accountable for this, and it was supposed to be $5, and it's an $8, and it's 65% higher. And some guy stood up and took they were taking questions, and the guy stood up and said, I don't care if it's $5 or $8. I just want a system that works. You know, I just want a system that delivers water and handles waste and handles sewage properly. I'll pay the $8 rather than the $5. We don't need to keelhaul the mayor over this. Somebody asked me about recycling, and someone asked, frankly, the city councilwoman about recycling, and I stood up because I've been trying to work on recycling issue, and I said, recycling's another area where we have a raging success in the single stream program that's been implemented in part of the city, and city council will not make any money available to finish it off and get it to the rest of the city. You know, they're not even willing to ask the public for money to support a program that is successful. This is how cowardly our politicians have become. When we have a successful project like single stream recycling, they don't even have the guts to stand up in front of us and say, listen, we know people are strapped, we know people don't want to pay taxes, but we've got a winner on our hands. They just want to give us all the bad news. Nothing works. We're shutting this down. We're firing these people. We're not going to raise taxes. This is how nutty it's gotten. And the result is waste. Waste. Waste across our city, waste across our businesses, waste across our country. Let's get to the phones. Johnny's up first. Hey, Johnny, welcome.
Well, there's a whole lot of wastage besides redistributing going on around here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is.
You know, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but when I was growing up in Queens, New York, I remember there were some corner side mom-and-pop style stores you can bring your broken TV, toaster, whatever you had in the house, instead of just tossing it in the trash and buying a new one at the local Walmart, which didn't exist back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always predicted that we're headed back towards that. And I don't mean that in a depressing kind of a way. I wish we had never abandoned that. But it's because you have people in other places in the world that can be abused financially, that we could put their cheap labor cost on those people, that it makes it seemingly affordable to go to the Walmart and discard a toaster, a TV, a boombox radio, a garbage disposal device. You know, you might think this is crazy, but I am a pack rat, and I like to save things that even if I don't know how to repair them, I hold them onto the idea that maybe I will be able to figure out how to do it, or when the Mr. Emmett comes back from Mayberry RFD, I'll be able to bring it back and be able to use that stuff and save some money and maybe help my neighbors out. What do you think about that?
Johnny, I think we should all be pack rats, and we should all eliminate waste, and we just waste too much. And thanks for the call. It's great to have you as always.
All right.
I follow waste and recycling news. I get a daily. They give a great daily digest. If you're interested in this, you can sign up for it. Waste and recycling. It's wasterecyclingnews.com, all one word. And there's a lot of good news too. Here's just one piece. They come out with these every day, and so I don't want to deceive you. There's a lot of good news. Recycler has sent 30 million pounds of furniture to the needy. The Institution Recycling Network, abbreviated IRN, reached a milestone last month with its surplus property program, surpassing 30 million pounds of furniture and equipment shipped to the U.S. and overseas relief organizations. Dana Draper, the head of operations for IRN, said, "Throwing surplus away is a waste, environmentally, socially, and financially. We know that people want to do the right thing with their surplus, but they cannot afford it. They cannot afford to if it's going to cost more or take a lot of time and effort. When we match their surplus with people who really desperately need it and make that easier and cheaper than the dumpster, it's a solution where everybody wins." Barack Obama could run on this. He could stand up and say, "We are going to make programs that make using surplus, that make using extra better, easier and cheaper than the dumpster. We're going to reduce our dumpsters." The guy could run on that. Reducing waste. Think of all the people we'd be putting to work. And I know organizations are working on this stuff, like IRN I just mentioned, and I read about them every day in Waste and Recycling News, but we are so far away. When I get a sink flange, and it is a common thing that when you buy a new garbage disposer, it's a common thing to keep the existing flange in place because it's still there, it works, it's a pain to replace it, and the one that came with the new one, when the company that you call has no provision in place to receive that part back, We're just not thinking, and we're not acting economically. I understand it's a miracle of modernity that I even have a garbage disposer. I got that. I repeatedly mentioned the anecdote that I was told that the modern pencil, just a pencil, none of us would have the ability to make on our own. You could not make a modern pencil without the vast manufacturing and complex forms of capital that have developed to make those parts that make the parts that make the parts. But having figured all those things out, why have we not figured out how to send a sink flange back to the manufacturer for reuse in another box? It's not for technology. It's again because we refuse to truly cost out the cost of waste in this country. And you don't have to be an environmentalist. You don't have to be a KPFT liberal. You just have to be a clear-thinking person who says, you know, there's all this waste. We've got all these people out of work. We've got this economy that's not functioning fully. Put all these things together. Let's eliminate the waste. Make war on waste. And you will get this country moving forward very powerfully. But they just want to talk more about going to the mall. We need to consume, and sales of this are up, and you know, Victoria's Secret seeing an incremental increase over quarter from last year. Come on. 713-526-5738. Tag is the next call of the day. Hey, Tag.
Great show about waste today, Leo. I've got a great garden going, and it's all due to my neighbor's waste, if you can believe it.
I believe it. Tell us about it.
Like this number one product or crop in the United States is grass. Lawns with people watering and fertilizing lawns, and they take all the clippings and throw them away.
Yeah.
And so I go around the neighborhood and I with my motorcycle and pick up bags of grass clippings, and I do lasagna gardening now, which is a soaker hose first, and then newspaper, which comes out of recycling,
mm-hmm.
and then the grass clippings. And my plants are going crazy. I've got tomatoes and zucchinis, all kinds of
grass. You're not suffering from the drought at all.
Yep, and so, yeah.
I love KPFT. KPFT people are so much like that. I mean, you guys know how to, you guys know what stuff's worth, you know.
And Leo, the thing is that
we're
not wasting the water either.
And you're not wasting water either.
Yep, so I've got a boardwalk I'm building right now. My neighbor's tearing a deck out.
Tag, what's the problem? I mean, why is it that you know, why is it that I can't send this part back to this company and have them set up to receive it?
Let me open your eyes about this, Leo.
Yeah, tell me. Why? What's the problem?
The problem is it kind of, you have to take a step backwards and then take off the glasses and take a look at what's going on here. What did you do with the old garbage disposal?
You know what I did? I gave it to my secretarial assistant's husband. He's going to take the motor off and use it. He's a chemist.
Okay.
And he's going to use the motor because it's the grindy part of it that's kind of, you know, it's got all the grease and gunk that's built up over 20 years. So he's going to use this half horsepower motor to build, I don't know, some sort of centrifuge or something, I guess.
I have a guy in the neighborhood who goes around with his trailer and he picks up scrap metal. And normally the garbage disposal and the ring would go to him and they'd recycle it.
Right.
But why
grind up the ring if the ring is just going to have to get reformed? Wouldn't it make sense to get the ring back to the company because then they don't have to make another one?
Yes, and that's very true. And idealistically, it seems like that's the way it should be. But it's actually cheaper to manufacture another one than it is to return that one back to inventory.
Maybe
and
so.
And that's why they don't do it.
Maybe so.
So, what I want to say, Leo, real quickly, is that, you know, if there's going to be any wars on waste fought, it's going to have to start at the grassroots level, you and me and all the people, and start using our heads and what God gave us in sense and utilizing all the stuff that we're wasting. Hell, the Chinese do it. Our number one export is waste to China. I mean, give me a break. You
right.
know?
And the Japanese are remarkable at all the different materials that they reuse and sort, and of course it's a much smaller, more densely populated island, but still, I mean, these systems exist tag, and we could do these systems, and we should be doing these systems in this country, and we're not, by and large.
And the whole thing is that, see, for years, the baby boomers were brought up in a disposable society.
Right.
I mean, people and all this stuff. I mean, just throw it away and do something else. And I went out and salvaged a grill the other day. Beautiful grill. Put a couple new burners in it. It's great. So, you know, we have to get away from that idea of living in a disposable society. But I think the idea we have to keep in mind is waste not, want not. And with that, I'll let you go. Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Tad. Great to have you. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think about, is it a baby boomer thing? I always talk about my parents, but they're kind of emblematic of it. I mean, it's sort of their, and I know it's a very diverse generation. You know, that generation's got people of all different political persuasions, like all generations. You know, but I don't know. There's a lot in that generation where they just sort of expect it to come to them and expect their waste to be taken away. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but anyway. So, you know, there is good news. Aluminum can recycling at a highest rate in 11 years. The U.S. recycling rate for aluminum beverage cans has reached its highest level in a decade, with 58% of all cans recycled last year. 58%. I guess that's pretty good, but that means that, 40% is not being recycled. You know, 40% is not. 42% is not. So 42%, almost half of the aluminum cans in this country, are not being recycled. They're being landfilled. Half. Almost half. So there's good news, and then there's not good news. We should be doing better. 713-526-5738. See, this is a subject, and the phones are busy today because you and I, we feel it. I mean, we are KPFT listeners. We see the craziness, and we feel it. And we take it personally when we see people wasting stuff. Because we know how things are made. We know how things are sourced. We know that can started as a natural environment somewhere in the world, in Australia or wherever. And we know what takes place to bring someone an aluminum can. And we're willing to sacrifice some of it. But we're not willing to sacrifice more of it than is necessary. So why are we landfilling half of the aluminum cans in this country? Makes no sense. Scott is next. Scott, welcome to the...
Well, I get a lot more papers than I really want.
You get more papers, yeah.
Yes, mailings.
Yeah, nutty, isn't it?
News magazines.
You can't shut those people down either, can you?
Well, yeah. Well,
can you? Do you call them and say, quit sending me your catalog, your glossy catalog?
No, I don't. And on political mailings, there's a lot I'm kind of interested in seeing, although then I have to throw them away.
What do you do with your Victoria's Secret catalog?
Victoria's Secrets. I don't think I've gotten
one. Oh, okay, all right.
No. Of course, in 2000, I got mailings from both Giuliani and Ricky Lazio.
Rick Lazio, yeah.
Yes, and they warned me about the terrible prospect of having Hillary Clinton in the U.S. Senate.
Uh-huh.
And one day, I took a Lazio mailing, and I wrote a note on it and sent it back in their envelope, and I said, you have gotten me to donate to Hillary Clinton. And I did send them the Clinton campaign a check, too.
Thank you, Scott. Great to have you.
Thank you.
713-526-5738. It's the New Capital Show, and we are talking about waste, war on waste. Why not have a war on waste? Why not stop wars on drugs and wars on terrorism and wars on communism and all the other wars that have been launched, wars on crime? The truth of the matter is, if you wanted to eliminate a lot of the problems that lead to those other wars, eliminate waste. Let the president stand up and say, for too long we Americans have wasted lots and lots of things. It's not befitting of a society that thinks economically, that acts rationally, that values material, that values natural environments and natural capital. that values all hands on deck eliminating waste, that wants to create jobs to partake of that. Again, this is just another area where we have failed as a country in my lifetime to build the proper infrastructure. And so when I was sitting in that neighborhood association meeting the other night, one guy finally stood up and said to Councilwoman Ann Clutterbuck, look, I'll pay the $8 over the $5. Just give us some systems that work. Quit politicking on this. Give us water systems that work. By the way, did you know that the amount of money spent on bottled water in this country annually is $23 billion? And did you know that the total amount spent on water systems, municipal water, delivery, sewage, all that, is $28 billion? We spend almost as much on our entire water infrastructure we spend on bottled water. If this is not madness, I don't know what is. And you want to know what's wrong with the economy? (laughs) 713-526-5738. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Great. How are you doing, my good man?
I am doing great. Thank you for asking.
Fantastic. Well, you know, there certainly is an inverse relationship to streamlined, standardized, assembly line, time-saving, mechanized production and individual catering, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So individual craftsmanship. And, you know, it makes sense that as this economy has grown and as the population has expanded, there's been more of this streamlined, standardized processing. We've got away from making our own soap out of whatever fat got left over to be put on sandwiches or to cook with. And, you know, it's just, I guess it's a product of a mechanized society. What to do with it? I'm not an expert, but there certainly is an opportunity to expand recycling in
yep.
various ways. You know, interesting thing. I know you're gonna have to go on to the next caller, but and I don't know the name of the show, but there's something interesting. This artist went to a landfill somewhere in Brazil. A huge city, Rio de Janeiro, I think,
mm-hmm.
and all these people subsisted off the landfill.
Right,
and you.
I haven't seen the movie, but I hear it's an amazing film, and I think it may be available on Netflix or something. I'd like to see it. If you can remember the name of it. I would.
I haven't a clue. It's been a couple of months. I can't even remember my own name sometimes.
Yeah,
but you know, it. Although there were some sad parts, I mean, it's interesting to the message that you get from that is so much could be done with what is
right.
disposed
yeah,
of.
Yeah, sure, because it's not waste that we're disposing of; it's surplus. That's the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, great to have you. Great to have you
Thank
on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. New field goal for sports teams: going zero waste on game days at Folsom Field. You'll find more than 53,000 University of Colorado football fans, hundreds of reporters and cameramen, and a live stampeding buffalo. But there is one thing you will not find, a garbage can. No garbage cans. The storied 87-year-old football stadium in where? Boulder, Colorado, is one of a growing number of sports venues and franchises shooting for a special kind of zero on the scoreboard. Zero waste. Instead of trash cans at Folsom Field, fans find only recycling and composting containers. It's part of the 3-year-old Ralphie's Green Stampede Initiative, named after the university's buffalo mascot. Last season, the university diverted from landfills roughly 71% of the 77,000 pounds of waste generated at football games. To earn a zero-waste designation, the diversion rate must hit 90%. Next season, almost all public food and beverage containers will be recyclable or compostable, and nearly all packaging within the stadium will be refillable, recyclable, or compostable, according to Ed Von Bleichert, Environmental Operations Manager for the school's Department of Facilities Management. He said the key to success is to know what's recyclable, compostable, and what's not. Colorado is credited with being the first Division I university to shoot for zero waste at the stadium. But the first school to take up the challenge was the University of California at Davis in 2007. UC Davis showed that it could be done. Iowa State is considering it. In the meantime, here in Houston, we have city council people who are standing up saying, we've got a budget crisis. We can't get it done. There'll be no money for recycling. Ridiculous. 713-526-5738. An absolute absence of leadership in this city. Line one is Christoph. Christoph, welcome.
This is Chris.
Yes, it is.
Well, I think there's several things. One is that you're up against the status quo. You know, we've become the kind of culture that thinks we can dispose of the whole planet. You know, we're just going to suck up all the resources and then we have the right to throw everything away because we don't take responsibility for it. You know, and it's a huge lack of, I agree it's a lack of leadership, but it's also a lack of imagination because in World War II, they had the biggest shortage was on rubber because we lost access to the rubber plantations. The Japanese took them, and we generated enough to supply, materials for the European war.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're up against the status quo, it's just a really uphill battle.
So, Christoph, what would you think if our leader stood up and said, I am stopping all the other wars and I'm declaring war on waste?
Well,
how would you feel about that?
I like the general idea. I think anytime we declare war on something, it becomes more entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to come up with a whole new PR campaign that doesn't use war in the title because none of the wars, all the wars to end wars have not ended any wars. The war on drugs, the war on cancer, none of that's working. So we need to come up with another PR term.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. Maybe we should accentuate the positive. We are going to, I don't know what the inverse would be, but...
For somebody else to figure out, but it needs to be done.
Needs to be done. Chris, thanks for the call. 713-526-5738. Randy is next on line 6. Randy, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hello, Leo.
How are you?
Let me explain something to you about baby boomers.
Okay, I'm ready.
Those who were born at or around or after World War II.
Yeah.
You know, their parents had gone through the Depression and they'd gone through rationing during the war. They consider wastefulness to be a sign of wealth and prosperity. Now, their parents, I've seen this in my own parents and grandparents. My grandparents, they were essentially subsistence farmers, and they were pack rats, and they got through the Depression by, you know, basically living off the land, reusing everything. After my grandmother moved into town and my parents moved into the farmhouse and started remodeling it, they found the old outbuildings were full of all kinds of junk and stuff and pack rat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But those who survived the Depression, they learned about the importance of reusing and not wasting.
Yeah, so, but I mean, pack ratting's not what we want either. Randy, because pack ratting means it doesn't get back into the useful stream of things.
Well, some of it does.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever watched a TV show called American Pickers?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. They drive around in a van and they offer to go through people's outbuildings and dig out stuff that they can resell.
Interesting.
It's a lot of fun to watch. But these people who grew up in the 50s. They considered that wastefulness to be a sign of prosperity.
Interesting.
And you're not going to change their minds by telling them that there is no prosperity.
Randy, great to have you. Thanks for the call.
You too. See you later.
Bruce Bartlett, well, he's a conservative. He held senior policy roles in both the Reagan and George Bush I administrations and served on the staff of Representatives Jack Kemp and Ron Paul. Bruce Bartlett is an economist who's very much worth reading. I mean, he's one of the sane conservative economists. Very, very strong economic thinker, and I read Bruce Bartlett whenever I can. An example of where conservatives should be going does an examination in one of the New York Times economics blogs this week. Talks about the U.S. military budget. Talk about waste. And he asked the question, can we afford the military budget? And, you know, you get to the bottom of this thing, and basically the answer is, hell no. Can't afford it. We're wasting it. It is a waste. The level of military expenditures in the United States of America. So, you know, call it a war on waste, call it a battle against waste, call it a drive to reduce waste, whatever. I think it's a winner, and it's one that everybody understands, except maybe the baby boomers, but I even think they can get on board too. 713-526-5738. Ryan, welcome to the New Capital Show, Ryan.
Hey, one of the things that I've been thinking of while you're talking about this waste.
Yeah.
We're at war in like three different places, and one of the things our military does is when we're done, we just leave all the tools and equipment we brought there because it's cheaper to make them, like, make more than to ship it back here. And I don't see how that's economical or affordable at all. They're talking about we have a budget crisis, and then they're just going to leave all this crap over there that no one's ever going to really use again, and come back and then expect to make it all again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Lots of waste.
Yep.
We need a war on waste. 713-526-5738. What's the Wilco phrase, a war on war? There's a song by Wilco called War on War.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Maybe you'll find that and lead us out with that. Is that possible?
Sure.
The end of the show today?
Yeah, I'll do that.
War on war. Next is who? Jared. Jared, you got the line.
There's a song by Wilco called War.
Oh, come on, Jared. Turn your radio down.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, turn your radio down.
Yes, sir. I have a news for you. I'm first-time caller, by the way. Thank you.
Great to have you. Thank you for calling.
You hear about this post office that they do all this wasting?
No.
Every year they lose like $3, $4 billion?
No, what? Tell me.
Yeah, you need to put this in your agenda,
yep.
Mr. Leo.
What do they do?
I have this post office here. I have PO Box. So those boxes that you rent.
Yeah.
I have them like for over 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
Anytime I go there, it doesn't matter, 10 at night or 2 in the morning, always AC's on. And when I went to the supervisor, I said, what's going on? Then I come here 2 in the morning. I'm sure there's nobody working here.
Yep.
Why you leave the lease here? Why you leave the AC on?
So they're running the air conditioner all the time at the
exactly.
post office.
I said, I understand this. You guys are losing money. But I mean, this is taxpayers taking all the bills. But
Jared, I went over to West Elm the other day. Have you ever been to West Elm? West Elm is it's an offshoot, I think, of Williams Sonoma or Pottery Barn. Actually, both those are, I think, owned by Williams Sonoma. And there's one over in Highland Village in the Galleria. I don't go there a lot, but I was looking for a rug for my office.
Uh-huh.
And they've got a very nice store over in Highland Village, and the doors, this is, you know, a week ago or so, they've got these two big doors, big, you know, glass French doors, commercial doors, wide open, propped open, and the air conditioning is pouring out of the store. They're running the AC thing full blast. The AC's, you got the point, right? They're pouring air conditioner out into the Houston summer, springtime, I guess is really what we're in.
Exactly.
And I walked in and I'm wondering whose decision this is to leave these doors open. Well, we want to be welcoming of our shoppers. You know, they're acting as if this is some sort of open air pavilion store in, you know, I don't know, London or Paris or something in springtime.
Exactly.
And I said, I have to tell you, I'm not going to be able to shop at your store. Your behavior vis-a-vis this air conditioning is so egregious that I'm simply not able to shop here, and you're the manager, and I'm just letting you know that, and adios. Same kind of thing that you're experiencing at the post office.
No, the thing is, I followed up. I went to the next day supervisor. I said, can I see the supervisor? This is the post office on Gessner and West Park,
yeah,
that West Chase area.
Yeah.
The guy told me, you have to go to another post office. Tell them.
Yeah, go tell somebody else.
We are under their supervision.
Go tell someone who cares, right?
And then I went to the other post office. I said, hey, you guys, yeah, we are wasting lots of money. I don't care about money, but this wasting is energy.
Yeah, Jared,
some
thanks.
Coal company, they have to spend all burn coal, just waste of the... I said, if you don't correct it, I'm going to put it on the line.
Yeah, Jared.
So millions of people, they can see how... You're wasting taxpayers' money.
Keep it up, Jared. Thanks for the call.
So my question is, Leo, is there any website on the line that you can put, like, government waste? You can put them online?
I don't know. I'll bet there might be. And if there's not, Jared, you need to start that business. Maybe you'll take it public soon, like the rest of the internet companies going public.
So, Peter, we
need more anti-waste internet companies.
Money, you know?
Yeah. I mean, somebody out there, you will make a fortune if you create some internet thing to stop waste. Jared, great to have you. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, they don't want us to complain, right? We complain. We say we want to send the sink flange back to them. They tell us to go away. Just go away. Just go waste it. Landfill it. Leave us alone. Well, we don't want to do that. I'm tired of that. Drives me crazy. All this waste. Jared. Oh, no, that was Jared. Is this a different Jared? Tell your story, Doyle, about this... deal your dad built.
Oh yeah, my dad builds custom swimming pools, and he used to work out of Houston, and one of the pools he built was for this Venezuelan oil tycoon who's supposed to be like one of the richest men in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually installed AC for his backyard in River Oaks.
He air conditioned the backyard.
Yes. Air conditioned the backyard. And just
so like so it just the and the AC would float away? Like
yes.
There was no container.
There no container, just open.
He just cooled
air.
The backyard.
Yeah. And that was day in and day out.
Uh-huh.
You can only imagine the bill. And the
Well, I mean in the bill it wasn't the full bill, right? I mean he paid some bill, but it was coal fired electricity. So he was only paying a fraction of the full bill. We know the true cost of that was probably at least double what his actual energy bill was, because they didn't account for the cost of the emissions into the air and the cost of the mining accidents and cost of the mining destruction of where the coal came from. So anytime you see your energy bill, you can basically double it if you want to get to the true cost.
Yeah, and I mean, some people can afford things like that, but it doesn't mean it's right.
Doesn't mean it's right, yeah. And that's the sign of a true mensch, right? The Yiddish word is mensch, a good person. A good person who can afford to do something and doesn't do it.
Wow.
You know, that's what we need. Okay, we've got time for a few more calls. Is it Jared? Is it another Jared? Or well, let's see. Jared number two, welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on, Jared.
Yeah, I think the war analogy doesn't work at all because it keeps in the mindset that Americans already have of only acting when there's an emergency.
Yep.
And I think what we need in this case is to understand this is about the proper allocation and use of resources. So a family analogy would be better, but the only people using that right now are the people using it wrongly, conservatives and libertarians who are saying we can't spend more. I think this is something that needs to be appropriated by, you know, liberals and progressives and people who want to make sane decisions for policy on in regard to the use and allocation of resources.
Yeah, yeah. Great to have you. Thanks for the call, Jared. I think that's important. I think what we call it's important, but I don't know. Americans seem to like the word war, so maybe it's the only thing you can call something that you want to do something about. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but I guess it's a trade I'd make to call something a war against something if we can at least do something good in that battle. Joe on line five. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Leo. First off, thanks for the closest explanation on why my neighborhood didn't get single stream recycling and the surrounding ones.
You understand, the city will not finance the project, period.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
I believe with you that we've got to pay for what we use.
Yeah.
And I really believe after living in other states that had a state bottle law, a recycling redemption value, it's really the only way we have to go.
Yeah, I mean it's absurd, Joe. If they said $5 to get single stream, everyone pays a $5 fee for single stream recycling in the city to get a citywide program, I'd say hit me. Fine. Here's my $5.
I spend more than that in the fuel going there, but but statewide we need a state bottle law. We need to pay for when we buy the can or the bottle or whatever it is, and it to use California as an example, when you return it, it's a no hassle. They weigh it, they give you money back, and it's great. They take wine bottles, they take everything back. I lived out in Hawaii when there was no deposit, no state bottle law, and they had 6 landfills, and they couldn't support that. And when I went back there, they've closed all but one landfill, and they now have a recycling effort with bottle law that's amazing.
Yeah, and it works, and it works.
We can no longer in Texas keep looking the other way. We have to get on board with
right,
it.
And so. I don't know what's wrong with us in Texas. Not all of us, but it doesn't have to be this way. So
it does not. It does not. There's too many other examples that are working very well.
Sure, they are. Absolutely, Joe. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Leo.
Great to have you. Colleen on line one. Colleen, welcome.
Thanks, Leo. Great show, and
thank
you're
you.
Really on target with this recycling. I was a part of No Impact Man Week here in Houston this year, and what I found by trying to live a carbon-free diet for 7 days was the biggest impact was garbage and was recycling. And anything we can do to reduce that is the number one thing we can do to have less of a carbon footprint. The other thing I want to talk about is I am a boomer. I was 63 Monday, and I was also part of the counterculture back in the 1970s, late 60s, and dropped out and lived a natural life for 2 years. And so not all boomers can be blamed for where
we are.
Right,
and we do need to understand that so many of your generation were pioneers in the 1960s and foundational, and you were a generation that broke through a lot of societal norms that were so strictly held in place through the 1950s and those post-war years, and I agree with that. We stand on your shoulders. A lot of the generation, though, as it always happens, the wisdom of seems to have escaped so many, and that's too bad, you know, because if the whole generation had managed to maintain cohesiveness, and that's really too much to ask, I understand. But had they been able to do it, then we'd be farther along than we even are right now.
Thanks. My two sons in their 20s know my principles and my values, and they know where I stand on the environment. And also, my parents lived through the Depression. They
yep.
talked about and ate bread pudding, which was just, you know, torn up white bread with sugar and cinnamon and cucumber sandwiches. So, you know, we go through the generations, hopefully learning from each other.
Colleen, thanks.
All right.
Doyle, we have time for any more, or we're toast?
We are toast, really.
We're toast.
Yeah, I can play
Joseph,
a little bit.
Joseph and Philip, I am sorry, we are out of time today. A lot of people wanting to get in to talk about waste, and that's as it should be. We are a radio station that's listened to by people who have a sense of being responsible, and that's the way it ought to be. We'll see. Maybe we'll all go to city council again. We did that about 2 years ago. Maybe it's time to go again and say, enough of it. Get this recycling program out to the rest of the city. Maybe I'll put that together. I've talked about it before. Maybe I'll do it and take all of you with me, and we'll go together. It's been great to be with you. It does it for another edition of the New Capital Show. Thanks to Doyle, newcapitalshow.com, and on Facebook, leogold.newcapitalshow. Up next, the fantastic, always lovable KPFT News. Take care.
Tell it on the mountain. Go talk it to the seashore. Whisper it in the breeze. Say it wherever you please. but is a secret that needs to get out. So tell a friend that you heard it on KPFT. It's a secret that should be shouted out. From the highest overpass to the bends in the bayou, you heard it on KPFT. If it's worth hearing, if it's worth discussing, KPFT gets the word out. So tell a friend to turn on, tune in, and listen to Radio for Your Mind. Call 713.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.